When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another week against one of our division rivals, an opportunity to right a wrong similar to what happened 2 weeks ago. And here to break it down to the man of the hour, Tyler Scott of the Tyler Scott Show.
Good blocking on the perimeter, and that opens it up for Tyler Scott.
He is back. How are you doing? How has your bye week been? And how's everything going?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Bye week was great. Great week to recuperate, rest, and just to mentally just kind of decompress for a little bit. Watch a little bit of football. You know, college football was interesting. You know, seeing, you know, a lot of different things shape out, you know, here over the weekend. It was a great bye week, and then ready to attack the week this week and get ready for the Lions at home.
You know, I mean, this is a show about the Chicago Bears, but you being, you know, 1 year removed from college football, somebody who doesn't like Michigan, I'm assuming, I think we've talked about this, but I mean, like, Michigan was going to get into the national championship picture, obviously. Sure. Who was the other team? Washington was going to get into it. Texas, yeah. I suppose. What did you think? I mean, everybody else is talking about it, so I would love to get your opinion on this. I mean, it is ridiculous that Alabama was put into the college football national championship game or playoff.
I don't know. I think on paper, I think, Florida State had the right to definitely be there. But I think when you look at history, when you look at, just Nick Saban, and I think you look at the reaction from Michigan, when the video had been going viral about, their reaction of having to face Bama. That kind of told me right there.
You didn't want it?
That they chose the right team, because if they're, feeling pretty good about Florida State, then I don't know, competition, maybe TCU might have messed that up for everybody the previous year, when you look at the reactions of, Michigan, and when they had to face, nobody wanted to face Bama, so I feel like because of that reaction, just kind of look at the landscape of over the last couple of years, I think the committee made the right decision as far as putting the best four teams into the college football playoff, but maybe on paper, and maybe even looking at their track record of not having an undefeated Power Five team, make it in. I think they still went with the best four teams at the end of the day to compete.
Yeah, you're not old enough to remember this probably, but a number of years ago when Colt Brennan was the quarterback of Hawaii, they were an undefeated, it's not a Power Five conference, the Mountain West, of course, but they were an undefeated team, and they went to the Sugar Bowl to go play Georgia, and they lose by 11-D. Like, it was an absolute, runaway TCU last season. So there is something to be said about that.
And I think, you look at their quarterback situation as well. Their quarterback gets hurt. Offense isn't looking so hot, the guy that's in there now, had been, starting the games or had been playing. So I think that also weighed in effect. I think if his name is Travis. I think if he is healthy, I think there's probably maybe a little bit more of a legitimate shot that Florida State gets in over Bama. But I think that injury definitely played a part or a piece into it, because, I mean, it's the quarterback of the team. I think maybe it's maybe another position. Maybe that's something that you overlook, but I think that injury also has something to do with it as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I know that we often, behind the scenes, we like to talk about, media training and things like that. You had a very, very good position on Alabama. You were the first one that ever echoed the whole thing of how upset is Michigan? And I guess that is probably the right way to right way to look at it, because you look at things on sportsmanship, but you know, things of that, like things of that nature, it kind of tells you, it is very telling. I could launch into an AYSO story, but I'm not going to do that because we are here to talk about the Chicago Bears. And I'm sure those fans who are coming in, the only reason, there's a reason why people are interested in Michigan, but we're not going to put you on the spot with that one. Let's talk about Justin Fields. What do you guys do during the off week? Were you able to work out a little bit, or do you guys just fly the coop and we don't see you? It's like that scene in Armageddon where everybody just disappears, or were you out there working around? What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I know everyone kind of has their own thing. I know guys are just looking to, you know, get away from kind of just the facility, just kind of get away from, you know, all the just kind of all the stresses that the season brings. I know, you know, you're working out individually for sure, you know, just making sure you're staying in shape, making sure you're running, working out, things of that nature, so you don't get back and, you know, you're just out of the loop. But yeah, I know guys are just trying to get away mentally and, you know, get some sun, go somewhere warm, you know, those types.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
For things.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I feel in some respects, you're like, hey, having a bye week at the end of the season is kind of nice because, you know, then it's a nice push of the playoffs. This week, the Commanders and the Cardinals are on a bye week. It just feels like it's too long, though. It feels like this needs to be a little bit more in the middle. Like, it seems a little unfair to you guys because it's such a grind. That it would have been nice to have a little bit of a break, but we're here now. It's given you an opportunity to look at the Detroit Lions, a team that, let's be honest, could have been one that we had, but the trend for the Bears this season is that a division rival we've lost to, we've beaten the second time. You can't argue against those facts, Tyler.
Can't argue.
What are we looking for? How do we want to attack the Lions this week? Because I know last week we talked about a lot of the screens and everything that Brian Flores is doing. But what is it going to be like going up against the Lions this week? Because despite the fact that they're the top of the NFC North right now, they've been vulnerable over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. What's the preparation like going into this one?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially down, you know, here in late in the season, just listening to a lot of the vets talk and speak. Listening to kind of their perspective, them going through divisional rival games and just kind of going through long, you know, seasons and getting now towards the end of the season. You know, really it's about who can be the most physical team and finish. You know, who can be the most physical, who can finish. At the end of the day, you know, it's not like you're going to, you know, super deviate from, you know, who you are. You know, you kind of establish who you are throughout the season as far as just kind of play style and just kind of scheme and things of that nature. Yeah, you'll make, you know, tweaks here and there based off of things that you've seen. But for the most part, you know, you are who you are. You know, so I think at the end of the day, it's who's going to be the most physical team and who can finish. You know, you've seen that with, you know, Minnesota. You know, at the end of the day, it came down to, you know, who could finish. You know, who could finish that game. You know, we're super physical up front in the run game. You know, even in all areas, you know, I think, you know, the defense just really stood out. And offensively, just with the run game, you know, we're top in the league as far as run game. Run average and as far as, you know, stopping a run. So I think, you know, we've definitely stepped it up, and it seems like, you know, we've been the most physical team to step out there, you know, since probably with the exception of probably the Saints. I think we've been the most physical team, and we expect to be the most physical team when we step out onto the field. And so I think those two things, you know, who can be the most physical and who can finish, will ultimately show you who wants it more, and we'll put that team over the hump.
It doesn't feel like it's a coincidence that there's been a marked improvement ever since the team went out and acquired Montez Sweat and then extended him, ensuring that he's going to be here for the long haul. Has he been one of those guys who's been able to bring that extra physicality? Because when you look at guys like, you know, Gervin Dexter, a second round pick who comes in, he's been playing fantastic. Like, he looks like the real deal. Do the two kind of go together?
For sure. For sure. I mean, I don't think there's, you know, really too many coincidences. You know, when you're talking about it, I mean, the film speaks for itself. You know, he's showing up, like he shows up on film, you know, so I think it definitely works. You know, you got, you know, worrying about this guy, you know, he, you know, wreaking havoc on that side, then that's going to free things up for everyone else. But I think it also just, you know, gets a mindset as well. You know, it sets a mindset, a confidence level. When, you know, you see your other teammate, you know, right beside you making plays, you want to make a play, you know, that much more. So I think it definitely trickles down from him to everyone else for sure.
And I don't know how much time you get to get into the defensive meeting rooms, but there was a play in that game against Minnesota where they had Yannick Ngakoue and Montez Sweat lined up on the same side. More of that. If you can just sneak into one of the building, like one of their meeting rooms, write that on a whiteboard.
Sneak it in there.
Just sneak it in there. Just a subliminal thing to let them know, because that looked really enjoyable. That was a cool part about it. But yeah, I love the way that the defense has been playing over the last couple of weeks. So it really has gone from something that, like, it was a detriment for the team for a couple of years, but now slowly but surely, it looks like we're starting to get the pieces. Offensively, the team's, even despite the fact that, you know, we scored 12 points in the last game, still moving the ball up and down the field. Now you're going up against a team that you did have some success scoring against the last time we played. But, you know, and I don't want to go too much into it, but this is, you know, obviously the Detroit game did not work out well for you the very first time. And is this one a little bit more personal to you, or is it just, you know, business as usual?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, anytime I get opportunity to step back onto the field, especially after a game like that, you know, I think, and I take it personal. And then as well, knowing that I had a missed opportunity, you know, against a team like that who had been hot, a team that, you know, is looked at as one of the best teams in the league, you know, at least as far as record is concerned. And, you know, I wasn't able to make the, you know, make some of the plays that I wanted to make, especially a key one there down the stretch. You know, for sure, you know, I just feel like, you know, I just feel like I owe one back to the team, for sure. You know, just, you know, since that time and since that moment. And like I said, I'm confident, you know, that I'll get that opportunity. And so, like I said, I'm ready for it. I'm ready. So, no, definitely what you said is true.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think this is a really great opportunity to go out there and kind of build some momentum moving forward. And, you know, it's weird when you look at the NFC playoff picture right now. Seven teams make the playoffs, obviously. Three teams from the NFC North, if the playoffs were to start today, three teams from the NFC North would be in the playoffs. Have you noticed that? Is that something that kind of like stands out? Like, that's not really the way I thought it was going to go coming into this season.
I mean, a little bit. You know, I think I'm just a little bit of aware, just kind of what's going on. I'm honestly not 100% sure of like how the, you know, like who has to beat who and like, you know,
you don't need to know the playoff tiebreakers, but you can see the graphic that they put up on the NFL Network all the time.
You definitely see the graphic of like teams that are in the hunt, you know, teams that are, you know, wild card position and, you know, just those type of things for sure. Just interesting to see how that, you know, shakes out, you know, each year. But, you know, it's definitely interesting.
I don't like the fact that the Packers are back in the mix. Like, what do we, and now everybody's sitting there and like, I've got to get into Twitter flame wars with people. Cause it's I think this shows you how concerned the Packers are with just like, they can't do anything without their fans pulling just like what, like we're on a bye week. We're not doing anything. Like Jordan Love now has three games with three touchdowns, but blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, well, since October, Justin Fields has two games with four touchdown passes. Jordan Love hasn't any in his entire four-year career. But we're not getting into that. But does it motivate you? Because I know that we've talked about this, and we've said it a number of times, that we still have in mind the idea of going to the playoffs. And you know what? You see what the Packers have been able to do, turning it up, going, winning three consecutive games. The Vikings, you know, were down. They looked like they weren't going to be competitive this season. They had won a bunch of games until we beat them. Do you feel like this is really attainable? Because I know there's like, there's coach speak, but you know when you truly believe it. But you have to feel that you are super close in this thing.
Oh, definitely. I mentioned, you know, in the last podcast, you know, kind of what, you know, DJ Mooney and I were kind of talking about before the Minnesota game. You know, we're kind of looking at kind of the playoff picture and things of that nature, but we're like, listen, we got to win this game. You know, we got to go out and win this game, and then we'll see what happens from there. We went out, we got the job done, we won the game. And now it's truly just taking one game at a time. We see, we understand, we know, you know, the opportunity, you know, that's in front of us. And, you know, like I said, truly, I think the mindset has been understand to just truly take one game at a time and truly put all your focus and intention onto this next game, which is Detroit. And then from there, it's doing the same thing, you know, the next week. And then, like I said, you just got to put your best foot forward and, you know, see what happens from there.
I remember when I was doing my preseason predictions, this was one of the most pivotal stretches right here, this three-game stretch where it goes Detroit, Minnesota, Detroit. I know there's a bye week mixed in, and I don't like the way the schedule makers do this. I wish there was a little bit more breathing room in between these games, but it really does appear like there is an opportunity. You know, the seventh seed in the playoffs right now, which I guess would be Green Bay, because they knocked out the Rams, who are also 6-6. That's a two-game. That's your two games back with a game against Detroit. Or excuse me, a game against Detroit and a game against Green Bay at the end of the season. And I don't want to sit here and talk too much mess with your face next to me, because this is clearly coming from me. But that's another thing that just, it just irks me. Cause like I saw something today where they're like, oh, like Matt LaFleur is undefeated all time in December. And I'm like, how is this possible? Because they lost their, I'm like, oh yeah, last year when they lost their last game of the season, it was technically in January. This is the mental gymnastics the media goes to just to make the Packers look good. Like even like Rich Eisen was out there like Jordan Love looks like another. I'm like, stop it. I go, Justin Fields had a back-to-back stretch of 8 touchdown passes in 2 games. Nothing. Nobody said a word. Everybody buried their heads in the sand. And now Jordan Love has a couple of nice games. They're like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers all over again. Okay, like, calm. And now they get to play, like, the Giants. I don't know how they ended up with an easier schedule, but they get the Giants and all these other, like, it's disgusting. But, again, these are things that can be settled on the field. But I want to know how you feel about this, though, because on the NFL Fantasy Live show on Tuesday, we do a thing. It's a projections of higher or lower. And so for DJ Moore, the projection was 14 fantasy points. And what that basically means is 7 receptions, 70 yards, 5 receptions, 90 yards, 1 reception, 20 yards for whatever it is. Like, however you get there. Right. Our Cynthia Freeland, who will be on the show this week, because she's a noted Lions fan, said that DJ Moore was going to finish below that, was not going to reach that threshold. Whereas your friend, Adam Rank, who you've met in person, we're friends, so that DJ Moore will be the number one wide receiver of this week. Who's more likely to be correct in this one?
Well, I probably have to go with Adam Rank.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. I probably have to go with Adam Rank. I don't think that's too much of a hard decision there. No. I trust your judgment, and I trust your expertise as well. So I definitely go with you.
You know, I do have to put a little bit of a mea culpa, a little disclaimer out there. And if this influences your decision, I will understand if you want to change your mind. Last week on that very same program, I went out there and I said that Brock Purdy was going to be the number one fantasy quarterback of the week. He finished half a point behind Geno Smith. So clearly I was wrong. So I don't know if that sways your decision in any way, but I just want you to have all the information before you completely have my back.
Looking at the information, I'm glad you were transparent and open about that. I'll still go with you.
Thank goodness.
When I look at the games play, did the Seahawks win?
Yeah, close enough. To certain members of the population, they did win. But in the standings of the NFL, they did not win that game.
Brock Purdy played a great game.
He was good.
He was good. I mean, as far as the eye test that I've seen, I'd have to go with Brock Purdy on that. So I trust your judgment there as well.
Okay. So, yeah. So I feel like I'm onto something here. I really do. And no BS. And I really do think that DJ Moore, especially when Justin Fields is there, he has proven to be one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He gets all the targets, much to the detriment of my friend Tyler, who doesn't get as many targets. That's okay. As long as we're winning, as long as we're putting up points, I think that everybody is going to be copacetic. How is everybody health-wise? How's the offensive line? I got to be honest with you, and I'm sure that we've talked about this before, but I'm really starting to love the chippiness of the offensive line, because it feels like Tevin Jenkins is a person that you do not want to mess with. Like, is it like that in real life? Like, I'm sure he's a delight. He seems like a delightful human being.
He is.
But he also feels like you don't want to cross this person.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the perfect mix of, you know, especially off the field. He's got this, like, he's super funny, like super, yeah, like, you know, plays around all the time, super just, you know, he's such a cool guy. And then when he's on the field, like, you could see it. Like, I talk about, like, the silent film. Mm-hmm. Like, he shows up on the silent film. Like, you don't even have to hear any of the crowd, any of the pads. Like, you could just see it, you know, when you're watching, you know, the impact that he has. I can distinctly just remember, like, all the different plays I've seen him where we've had a running back that was kind of, you know, kind of half up, you know, still fighting. And here comes 76, yeah, boom, you know, pushing a plow another 5-6 yards. And here comes everyone else leading the charge. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I think that's definitely, you know, what you see. And it's definitely true in person as well.
Darnell Wright also kind of figures into that mix as well. And Braxton Jones getting after some people. And I love that they're not, like, allowing people to take extra liberties with the starting quarterback, which is a good thing. By the way, before I want to remind everybody too, the game this week, Chicago playing host to the Detroit Lions. If you can't make it out to Soldier Field, the best place to watch the Bears game is Game Room Chicago. It features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, pop a shot, and so much more. And it has plenty of space to watch your favorite games with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura's snack foods. There are beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and shareable signature cocktails. Game Room Chicago is the place to be on game day. If you can't make yourself out to, or make your way out to Soldier Field this weekend, you want to go tailgate and then make your way over to Game Room Chicago, located in the historic Chicago Athletic Association Hotel right across the street there from Millennium Park. Yes, so I will be picking the Chicago Bears as the win, or as the sunlight starts to come through. I have a studio, Tyler, that is, it's much like old Wrigley Field before they put in the lights. It's all natural lighting here. Okay. So when the sun in December, it starts coming in sideways. Nice. I'm picking you guys, though. I feel like this is a continuation of what happened. I know that, you know, the final outcome, the last time that we played the Lions, was not what we wanted it to be. But I think there was something about the way that you bullied that squad, the time of possession. I think you guys got it. You're going in the right direction. How do you feel about this one?
No, definitely. Like I said, I mentioned before, last week, like that, like I said, those two losses I can distinctly remember of us, like, truly, like, man, that one hurt, was the Green Bay week one and then Detroit when we were there. Like, I remember, like I said, that feeling of walking away from that one, like, it was just like kind of just like an all distraught, just like, are you serious? You know, and so I think, you know, now we really feel hungry about this one, especially we feel like we owe them. Like, I think, like, everyone, you could kind of feel that around the whole building. Yeah. It's like we let, you know, Detroit, you know, slip away. And I think they know that we were the better team in that game. And so you could definitely feel that, you know, throughout the whole locker room.
Well, I love to hear that. I hope that you guys have a great week of practice moving forward. Again, I'm really confident. Tell DJ Moore that I got him at number one. And I need him to back me up on that one. Hey, listen, if you win, I don't care. I don't care where he finishes, but just let him know that I got his back. Thank you so much. Well, good luck this week. Thank you so much for stopping by, spending some time with the fans. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. We will talk to you next week after this win over the Detroit Lions. So for Tyler, I'm Adam. We will see you guys next week, and go ahead and bear down.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.